Joining us now are our guest political commentators, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution. Good to see you again, E.J.
And you too.
And David Brooks of the Weekly Standard. Welcome once again, David.
Thank you.
From what we've heard, it sounds as if the bipartisan aura that descended on Washington in September is dissipating a bit over, well, as we just heard, over such an issue as aviation security. Do you think that this is a serious question? Who should be in charge of making sure the airports are safe? Private security firms regulated by the government, or people in uniform from the government, or is it just a one-week wonder of a story? David, you first.
Well, something happens about once a month to remind you of the virtue of the founders of this country, and what's happened this week is we're reminded they were right to give war authority to the president and not to the Congress, because the president can really snap to attention and transform himself into sort of war footing. At the Pentagon, they walk faster. At the Congress, you know, some of them are still fighting the contract with America. Some are still fighting the Great Society. They have not transformed since the war. They are debating how many federalized airport workers can dance on the head of a pin, and they've just dragged this out and out.
You think the Democrats are being the dinosaurs?
Well, I think both are. You know, there's merit in both sides. The Republicans are right that Israel and Europe tried federal airport workers and then gave it up because they needed the flexibility. The Democrats have a point that, you know, it's a federal function. It's a law and order function. But the idea that they're debating about this small little issue for weeks and weeks and weeks while planes are taking off every day, thousands of them, possibly bomb-laden or whatever, is just absurd.
E.J. Dionne, your thoughts on this one?
Well, in fact, the reason they're not just voting on it is because Tom DeLay and Dick Armey, as David said, are still fighting for the contract with America in some ways, and they don't want to bring it to the floor because most of the Congress, a majority of the House, like the Senate, wants to have a strong federal role. But it isn't just this that is at issue right now. There is also the big fight over the so-called stimulus bill that the Congress, the House passed yesterday. It reminded me of that story of the legislator who got up and said, "The company I represent," and then corrected himself and said, "The district I represent." I mean, this is a bill full of big benefits for Ford and IBM and GE and GM by repealing taxes retroactively. And I think it was inevitable that that bill was going to create a real partisan stir. Only three Democrats voted for it. But there are two areas where the bipartisanship hasn't broken down. There hasn't been a breakdown of bipartisanship on the war itself. Indeed, to the extent that there's debate on the war, a lot of it's going on inside the administration, not between Republicans and Democrats. And the other is that Democrats aren't going after President Bush, and he's kind of hovering over this fight almost as the great triangulator. Now, where did we hear that before?
Well, before we come back to an issue concerning President Bush, I want to ask David Brooks about the economic stimulus package. This also was a pretty straight party line vote, as E.J. has said. And again, the division is an old one about whether you want to see money trickle down in times of recession to stimulate the country or not. It passed.
Barely, yes. The House Republicans know that the Senate is where this bill is going to be decided, that both the Senate and the President want a balanced bill, balanced meaning some spending, some tax cuts. But in their way, they wanted to make a statement. They wanted a lot of tax cuts of all different varieties. So this is a show, as Secretary of Treasury Paul O'Neill said. This is a demonstration of what they want. And there has been, since this whole thing started, a split between the House Republicans and the White House. The White House wants bipartisanship. The House Republicans are uncomfortable with bipartisanship. They don't feel the war is serious enough to put aside domestic differences.
So you're acknowledging in part what E.J. said about Tom DeLay and Dick Armey in the House.
Yeah, I think they're quite open about that. What we're discovering in the Republican Party, there are two types of conservatives. There are national security conservatives who care most about the war and want to put aside domestic fights. And then you might call them libertarian populist conservatives like Tom DeLay and Dick Armey, who think that the real problem is seeing government expand in time of war, and they want to prevent it.
I just want to ask both of you for your reactions to this. Apart from speculative questions of which European model might be the better way of going with our airport security, there was a real government mistake this week, and it involved the screening of the failure to take precautions at the Postal Sorting Center in Washington, D.C., failure to put two and two together that a letter probably would have come there and that postal workers also should be tested, not just Senate staffers. Do you get the sense that the public is reacting to this with some sort of frustration with Washington, or is there a mood of forgiveness? Nobody knows what to do in times like these, and they're doing their best. What's your sense, EJ?
I think there is a lot of frustration. I think there's a lot of frustration, especially among citizens of Washington, who wonder when mail comes through their slots at home what's going on. And I think there were two problems here. One, it was very disturbing that the people on the line, the postal worker, is the last person to get tested. We test folks in the media. We test people connected to Congress. And it's sort of, somebody wrote a book many years ago called The Hidden Injuries of Class. This isn't so hidden. I think the other problem is the FBI seemed to know some things that they didn't share with other people. There's a big controversy about that, and we've got to get that straight.
And David Brooks, you have the last word if it's a brief one.
Yeah, there's a tremendous contrast between the foreign policy team, which seems masterful, communicating well, the domestic policy team communicating extremely poorly.
David Brooks of the Weekly Standard and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.